Morning. Man, I'm so excited about this ministry. So in ministry world, there are a couple of things that themes that repeat in the congregation across lives. And the way we try to address the things that repeat across the congregation is we try to form programs or ministries that will help care for those particular needs. And one of the things we do is like Stephen Ministry. That's for folks that, like, we have folks that just sometimes just need someone to listen to them and help them, guide them through a situation or process. So we have Stephen Ministry. Those folks are lay people who've received 50 hours of training, and they're just always working behind the scenes for people. Another one we do is marriage. So, like, marriage is a constant battle in our congregation, and people are always hurting in that particular area, or looking for help, or maybe just looking to be healthier. And so, man, Reengage has allowed us to build into marriages, I don't know how many now, but dozens and dozens and dozens of marriages, so that when people say, hey, we're going through a rough time, well, that's a great ministry to have. And now, I'm so excited that this ministry of Renew is going to address some of the sexual brokenness that is part of every congregation and is a constant theme in congregations and in people's lives. And it's online, so it's available to anyone, anywhere, at any time. So you can begin learning, and I enjoyed watching the classes. I enjoyed the statements. And this is a way that Alive is actually being proactive in the area of sexual brokenness. The church is known for being reactive. We're against this, we're against that. And that's fine, and that's an important thing to know where you stand as a church or where we stand. But what we found out and what we're learning is it's not helping to heal anything. And so is there a way we can actually begin the healing process by seeing what God's word says together and building from that? And so that's what Renew is. I hope you'll check it out. I hope you'll invite your friends. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry, and I'm so excited that Alive is able to launch that. One other announcement I'll make, and then I'll get into the message, and that is, hey, if you're a veteran, I want to have dinner with you. And so we want to honor the veterans, and we have a dinner set for May 25th. The only thing I need for you to do is to let me know you're coming and you're spouse or whatever, so that we can have enough food for everybody. But I got a gift for you. I just want to have time with you as a way to honor you. So May 25th, just let us know you're coming, and we'll make plans. Okay? Wow, guys, that really was rough. So, yeah. Well, Lord, help me pick it up from here. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to be together. And Lord, we all just want to hear from you. We want you to touch the part of us that you're making more like you. And so we open our hearts to you. Speak to our hearts and say, man, so we leave this place or we log off or wherever we're worshiping today, that we just say, this is the part of me that Jesus is working on. We'd be so honored, Lord, if you would do that. So let us hear just from you and hide me in your cross and your name. Amen. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God makes it very clear what his intention for us is on the planet. God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. So in the very first words of the first chapter of the first book of the written revelation of God, like the one day long, long ago part of the book, the core identity for human beings is given clearly and concisely by God. We bear the image of God, meaning likeness or resemblance. Everybody listening to the sound of my voice bears that image or likeness, even if you're not following God. Part of humanity, what unites us is that image. And this imageness is only given to human beings. And all the created order, it's only human beings that get this image of God. So what exactly is it? Well, being made in the image of God means that humans share, though imperfectly and certainly finitely, in God's nature. That is, in his attributes like personality and truth and wisdom and love and holiness and justice. And as a result of sharing in these attributes, we now all have the capacity for spiritual intimacy with God and spiritual intimacy with each other. We can know God because we are made in his image. We are like him. So as a result of being made in his image, as scripture says we all are, our purpose for this life is really clear. You don't have to go searching for it. You don't have to read a self-help book to find your purpose. It's spelled out. Basically this, as image bearers, we are to reflect something of God's nature and character to the rest of creation. That's what we do. Despite our jobs, despite our status, despite our family dynamic, that's what we do. And friends, that's why we have to meet together. That's why we have to be here. That's why we need to be in small group fellowship or in worship times together or friendships. Because when we're together, it's not just that we're going out and having a good time, but apparently when we get together, the closer we are to God, the more intimate we are with God, we are reflecting his character and nature to each other. You are revealing something about God to me, and I'm revealing something about God to you. In my home, in my marriage to Lise, we're revealing something about God to each other. The way we're raising our children and our children are teaching us. My children have probably taught me more about God than any degree. They're reflecting something about the nature and character of God to me. And so that's what we do. That's our purpose. That's one deal that's on the table. But there is another deal that is on the table that is seeking to distract us or make us turn our backs on this idea that we're made in God's image. And I would summarize the second deal with these two words: not enough. So one deal says you are made in the image of God. You reflect his character and nature to creation. The other deal says you are not enough. To a creation that has been formed in the image of God, Satan plants the seed that we could be more than we are, or that we are actually less than who God says we are. Do you understand? As Adam and Eve are living out being made in the image of God, Satan convinces them. Listen, this is before the fall. Pre-kudzu, pre-pollen, pre-gamecock. No, okay, never mind. But I know that's going to get something. But anyway, so before the fall and everything, they were walking with God. They were enjoying iced tea on the front porch with God. Nothing was separating. There was no shame in creation. Satan convinces them in that context that they are not enough. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Friends, humanity, respectfully, the alive community has bought this lie hook, line, and sinker. We are so deeply motivated by this idea that we are not enough. We live with the voice of accusation that is constantly saying, I am not enough. I am not enough. I am not enough. Have you all ever seen a Victoria's Secret model? Yeah, me neither, but I read a story about it once, you know. Apparently what they do is they sell a little clothing for big people. That's apparently what their whole business model is. But I'll tell you why I bring this subject up. The average height and weight of a Victoria's Secret model is currently 5'10" and 120 pounds. Let the murmuring begin. The average American woman, 20 years and up, average weight is 170 pounds and is 5'4". Oh, wow, here they come. Sisters are saying, preacher, yeah, I hear you. So right now, some of you women are either average or above average immediately. You understand. The average American male is 20 years and up. He weighs 197 pounds and is 5'9", but nobody cares. And what I want you to know is, apparently, I am above average on both those counts. I just want y'all to know. We're buying it. We look at the little magazines when we're checking out. Looking at social media, we're looking at all pretty people broadcast or whatever, and we think, man, I'm not enough. But it goes even deeper than appearance. The person being bullied at school is is trying to be convinced they're not enough and they're buying it. The people doing the bullying at school are living out their conviction that they're not enough. So they have to make someone else feel as if they're less. It's not enough. The husband makes the wife feel as if she's not enough. The wife makes the husband feel as if he's not enough. The employer to the employee to the employer, you're not enough. We see something on social media, the artificial, digitized, enhanced photo world, and we think, I'm not enough. We see a beautiful person, and the message we receive is, I'm not enough, despite the fact God said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. We drive an old car, live in a rundown house, I'm not enough. We lose our temper, I'm not enough. We make a mistake, I'm not enough. I'm divorced, I'm not enough. I'm single, I'm not enough. I'm confused, I'm not enough. And that message is on repeat, and alarmingly, this identity that is steeped in not enough has produced the loneliest society to ever grace planet Earth. That's us. We're living it, but for some reason we're not able to connect the dots. If we're all buying that we're not enough, it's no wonder we feel so alone. We are more connected than ever before in history, and yet lonelier than ever before in history. And at least part of the reason for this is we have all, Christian, non-Christian alike, unintentionally or intentionally, bought into the lie that is coming from every angle in our lives that is saying, you're not enough. Please hear me. Young and old and in between, you average built people, you above average built people, you below average built people, all you people, you are made in the image of God. How could it even be possible you would not be enough? Unless God is not enough. You are made in the image of God. And anything that is telling you different, friends, that's a lie straight out of the pit of hell, and you should reject it with every word of truth that is found in God's word. Don't buy it. When the message that is on repeat in your mind is you are not enough, listen, you are hearing from the snake in the tree. You are hearing from the very person of evil himself. So shout it down with truth. Now, I'm not trying to give you some pop psych, feel good about yourself. I'm basically trying to share with you how God sees you. Here's what Psalm 139 says. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Spouses, write that down. Because it works great in my home. Thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderfully complex, Lisa. Isn't that great? Your workmanship is marvelous. You're welcome, Lisa. Well, I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. God keeps a scrapbook of your life every day. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. He had a plan for you before you even popped out. First Peter says, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, and God's very own possession. Listen to this. Connect this to the image of God. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God as an image bearer. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And then Ephesians, this is Paul. We are God's masterpiece. Turn to your neighbor. I'm God's masterpiece. Go ahead, give it to them. Tell them with confidence. Go ahead, take a gander. This is God's masterpiece right up in here. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now listen. We are image bearers, and yet The lure of the identity of not enough has wreaked havoc in our lives, hasn't it? All of us. We've strayed from who God says we are. And as a result, pain has happened, sin has happened, loss has happened. And this whole dynamic is why we are studying wisdom, knowledge rightly applied. Have y'all ever heard of the butterfly effect? So it basically comes from the world of chaos theory, and basically it means this. Butterfly effect is the idea that small things can result in a larger difference in a later state. So something small can happen here that will ultimately result in something larger happening out here. It's kind of a butterfly effect. So it means like a butterfly could imagine it flapping its wings. This was the illustration they do. And those flapping of its wings, even though it's a small current moving, could ultimately cause like a weather pattern, like a typhoon or some point in the future. Now, of course, a butterfly flapping its wings as a single act can't produce a typhoon. But it may be one event of many that results in a typhoon. Let me give you a personal example. A meatless sandwich gave me 3 kids and 2 sons-in-law. And this is true. So for the second date, a beautiful girl named Lisa, who was obviously smitten by my charm and my above average height and weight, invited me to a picnic lunch at Table Rock. It rained cats and dogs and elephants and rhinoceroses that day. I mean, it was a downpour. Undeterred, we went and we found a little front porch in a cabin that was abandoned there. And we sat on the front porch and she proudly began laying out the picnic. And she realized in that moment, she had forgotten to pack the meat for the sandwiches. Now, I know for some of you, that's not a big deal. But if there is no meat on a sandwich, it's a salad in disguise. Now, as I've gotten older, that sandwich sounds pretty good. But in that moment, it was a crisis. To be honest, I wouldn't have cared if she gave me shoe leather. I was just happy to be with her. Well, the next thing you know, we're eating a meatless sandwich. 36 years later, we got 3 kids and 2 wonderful son-in-laws. Now, obviously, the sandwich was just part of the journey. That would involve asking her parents' permission, a wedding, and wooing her with my charm and all that kind of thing, and a mess of other details. But that is where it all began. A butterfly flapped its wings. A meatless sandwich gave me 3 kids and 2 sons-in-law. Now, the reason I call your attention to the butterfly effect is sometimes the butterfly effect produces moments that are not so pleasant, especially for people building a life on not enough. And the effect can be disastrous. I got a gym membership and lost my marriage. I went out with friends and lost my license. I said one harsh word. Now I am all alone. I said I would only do this once, but now I'm fighting a disease. I went to one site, and now I'm losing my family. See, in the moment, the change doesn't seem huge, like a butterfly flapping its wings. But in reality, over time, the change produces an undesired consequence. Even the smallest action over time can result in desolation. I would illustrate it for you this way. One little event happens. It doesn't seem like a significant event. It seems like something pretty simple. But then over time, as life plays out, and as we continue to act on that decision, we find ourselves in a place we never intended to be. Think about it in our marriage. It didn't seem like a big deal. It was just one little event. But now we push ourselves out here 15 years later, and we're 2 different spots, places we never planned on being. And you know this is true. You've seen it in your own life. The smallest change can produce a destination we had no intention of going to. So the real question is, can we avoid them? Can we avoid the undesired butterfly effects? And if so, how? Wisdom. Wisdom, knowledge rightly applied. Let me give you a grand illustration of it from Scripture. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend or lean on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. If you're a note taker, underline path, because it's going to be a theme today. Trust that God's ways are the best ways. Why? Because if we are made in God's image, hear me out on this, then it can only mean the best way for us to do life is in alignment with that image. Does that make sense to you? If we're not made in God's image, then we have to have a different discussion. But if we believe we are made in the image of God, then life is going to make the most sense when we live in alignment with that image. Don't trust your own understanding. Why? Not enough. Not enough. Jeremiah 17 says, the human heart is deceitful and wicked. So Solomon's wisdom is saying, in every decision, big or small, acknowledge God. If you do, he'll make your path straight. And then Solomon takes his incredible wisdom and he puts it in story form. And he's writing a story to his sons. And the theme of the story is marriage and adultery. So he's teaching us a principle that will play out in all areas of our lives, but his illustration is marriage and adultery. Proverbs chapter 7. I saw some young, naive men, and one in particular who lacked common sense. Everybody have a visual in their minds? Yes, easy to come up with. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. So the lady has a reputation as being immoral. The dude, lacking common sense, is walking by her house. She now approaches the man, the young boy, and things escalate rather quickly. She threw her arms around him and kissed him. My bed is spread with beautiful blankets with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Apparently, she was into essential oils. Send the email. Come, let's drink our fill of love until morning, for my husband is not home. Husband is not home. He's away on a long trip. Come, be part of this. So she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. Solomon makes it clear, damage is being done here. He's writing to his boys. This event has disastrous adults that the young man did not know he was choosing. Verse 22, he makes three analogies. The young man who lacked common sense followed her at once like an ox going to slaughter, like a stag caught in a trap awaiting an arrow to pierce his heart, like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing, keywords, it will cost him his life. Then Solomon speaks directly to his sons. Listen to me and pay attention to my words. Don't let your hearts stray away toward her. Don't wander down her wayward path. In ancient Jewish literature, this is so cool. When a theme that the author desires to communicate it, one of the ways he could communicate a theme is he would state it at the beginning and state the same theme at the end. It's called bookending. And when this happens, the writer is telling the reader what he wanted us to take away from this story. Solomon bookends his story significantly with the word path at a minimum at verse 8 and verse 25. We're supposed to learn something in the story. We're not supposed to learn something from the woman. I'm not even sure we're supposed to learn something from one who is naive and lacks common sense. We're supposed to learn something about the power of the path that we find ourselves on. We're supposed to learn the path we chose mattered. So Solomon is rewinding the story. We all know the play out over here when the arrows have totally diverged and the evil has happened. But Solomon is saying to his boys, look where it could have been prevented. Choosing the right path, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You should never have been walking down there by her house to begin with, Solomon is telling his boys. It's the butterfly effect. I went for an evening stroll, and I lost everything. Do you understand? When he strolled by her house, when he talked with her, when he went in the house, all of those decisions were unwise. But it all started when he went on the path by her house. So what I'm communicating to a not enough culture, wisdom, rightly applied, knowledge rightly applied, is do not lean on what you understand or what your heart is saying, but trust in the Lord, and he will make your paths straight. For the context of the morning, the way to avoid blowing up a marriage is to identify what the arrows are doing as a result of this one decision. Now, let me get even more direct and potentially even more offensive, certainly more personal, because I hear these things all the time. And frankly, I don't like not enough culture. I've seen what it does to families. I've seen what it does in life. For example, someone would come. I used to have a porn problem, but I'm better now. So it's now okay for me to stay up late at night and go to my computer after my wife goes to sleep. No, it's not. It's not okay. You're on a bad path. I'm a good liar. I lie to everyone, including myself, but nobody gets hurt. It's okay. No, it's not. You're on a bad path. Dad struggled with it, but I don't struggle with it. Sure, alcohol destroyed his marriage, but I'm not my dad. It's okay. Really? No, it's not. You're on a bad path. I feel disconnected in my marriage. I wonder what my old boyfriend is doing. I'll just look him up on social media. That's got to be harmless. No, it's not. It's a bad path. These are my friends. I can say whatever I want. They'll understand, even if it hurts someone. It's okay. No, it's not. That's a bad path. We're drifting apart. I can't remember the last time I opened her door or looked in her eyes and told her she's beautiful. But we've been married 40 years, so none of us are going anywhere. It's okay. No, it's not. You're on a bad path. You say, Tom, you're not being realistic. I could never. I could never do that. I could never go back. Well, how about this? What if I said to you, I will give you $1 million. I'll give you $1 million to stop for a month, whatever the behavior is that you're questioning whether or not it's the right path. Give you $1 million. Would you do it? Well, of course you'd do it. It's $1 million. I mean, 30 days, that's a piece of cake. Of course you'd do it. Why? Because then you would think the reward would be worth it. But the problem is we don't know where these bad paths lead. And it's not until we get way out here that we realize the cost of the bad path. People that have experienced a terrible hurt and pain of an affair, they'll all tell you. It's not like you walked into the office one day and there it was. It was a whole bunch of little choices along the way. Sometimes the disease that might be part of your family tree, they would say it was when I picked up the first one, a little choice along the way. The way you use your words in speaking about people, it's not like you woke up one day and all of a sudden ran everybody in the ground. No, it started way back here where you said one thing and it made you feel powerful. And then you developed a whole persona around it. It's a bad path. So is your family, your marriage, your integrity, your identity in Christ, is it worth it? Or would you rather have the $1 million? Here's what I'm thinking we should do. Stop it. Just stop it. Oh, Thomas, no. Stop it. Just stop it. And I know you probably aren't going to listen to me. Listen to what God says in his word. Stop it. He says, stop at the crossroads. It's so brilliant. It's so important. Walk throughout your day and listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you. And the Holy Spirit will call you to a moment and you'll be at this point and you'll hear, stop it. As you'll be scrolling through whatever in the thumb and the social media and the night and the Holy Spirit, stop it. You're on a bad path. And then he says, stop it. And look around. Where does this take you? Fast forward your life 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Is that where you want to be? And then ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will tell you how to walk. Stop. And then look for the godly way. Travel its path. And you'll find rest for your souls. Isn't that beautiful? Anybody wish we would have heard that 20 years ago? I changed the wording a little bit just to hopefully help us remember. So if you're evaluating whatever's going on in your life, whatever issue you find yourself wrestling with, pause and ask yourself the question, where does this take me? Just pause. Where is this going to take me? And is it where I want to go? Secondly, change your direction. For you old school rockers, why don't we stop flirting with disaster? Just stop it. Stop flirting with disaster. And then choose home. And what I mean by that is, reject any idea that you're not enough or your experience is not enough. Reject all of that. Choose home. What do you mean? The one who created you. The one who created you with his image so that you would reflect his nature and character in all of creation. Choose home. Because the butterfly effect works both ways. It can choose something negative and produces something negative. But here's the brilliant thing. We can immediately today choose something good and innocent and insignificant in the moment that will produce a great reward later in life. Do you understand? Maybe if you choose to relate to your children in a different way, then they'll still call you when they leave home. Maybe if you start choosing to relate to your spouse in a different way, you'll still like each other in your 60s and 70s. So I was thinking this because of the marriage thing, and I put it in the marriage, and I thought, what is one way we could choose home for our families or our marriages or our friends? Well, I just wrote down some ideas. Turn your phone off. What path do you think that's producing? Whether it's distraction, whether it's intimacy, whether it's conversation, whether it's social media and the allure of not enough, maybe we should turn those off. What about date night? Is that even still a thing? Lisa and I do date day. Just need it. Here's a question. When's the last time you looked your spouse in the eye and said, I love you, and meant it? No. Go buy some porch furniture. Come on, I can't believe you all didn't take notes on that. Go buy porch furniture and then like sit on the porch, talk about your neighbors or whatever, I don't know. Find a way to be together in a new way. My kids were at the house recently, two of them that are married and one of them is trying. This is very kind of took us off guard because we were having a conversation at the dining room table. And one of the kids said, Dad, why do you always open mom's door when she gets in the car? I didn't say anything. Lisa was there. Know your role, man. Know your role. She said, early in our marriage, Tom said that he wanted me to feel special. And he would start opening my door for me to remind me that I'm special to him. It was this little decision. And now I've got 2.5 marriages that are learning from the butterfly effect when I said, I need to open the door for my spouse. Does that make sense to you? Now, I've done some bad ones. I'm going to keep those to myself if you don't mind. But that was a good one. So ask God to reveal himself to you, and he will. And stop it. Evaluate what's going on. Stop flirting with disaster and choose home. You belong in the image of God. That's who you are. So, Lord, thank you for your love in this moment. Thank you for the power of Scripture. Oh, my goodness, Lord. It's so wise. It's so logical. And, man, I guarantee, Lord, that most folks listening to the sound of my voice would say, boy, if I could go back on that decision... And Lord, we can't do anything about back there. That's why you came and died on the cross. You took care of back there. And yet, Lord, we can do a lot about from now on. We can do a lot about from now on. Men and women, young and old, parents, children. We could say from now on, I'll be doing this. From now on, I won't be doing this. And Lord, the real reward for that, maybe 5, 10, 15 years down the road, it may be sitting around the dining room table and someone says, hey, why'd you stop drinking? Hey, how did you and mom start loving each other with your words like you do? How do your kids still want to be in your lives? And that moment, Lord, will be traced back to the from now on decisions we're making right now as we walk as image bearers in this life. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom and guidance and empower us. In your name we pray and believe. Amen.